I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, and I'm delighted to be here.
You may recall from an earlier podcast that you outlined several ways investors could add value to the properties they own. And I was just wondering if you had any further strategies our listeners might find helpful.
Yeah, I can give you a number of tips, and they probably fall within three different categories. The first one would be financial, and then physical, and then finally we could look at a few strategic tips. So the first one in financial would be you can increase your rents. And what I mean there is that you can make an assessment on rentals when looking at a property as to whether they are above or below market level. And ideally, you're looking to purchase a property that still has some scope to increase the rentals at the next market review. Because as you'll be aware, lenders and valuers place a heavy emphasis upon the rental the property generates. And so you need to plan ahead. The secret here is to be seen as a caring landlord and undertake some visible but not necessarily major improvements to the property at least 6 to 12 months before any upcoming market review takes place. And to do this 3 months before the review is quickly seen for what it is, and that is you're trying to unnecessarily encourage the tenant, but it's not a caring landlord, it's just something done too close to the rent review. The second one would be to reduce your operating expenses. Now, as we've discussed, the tenants, and if you go to a market view, a determining valuer will look at the total occupancy costs when making comparisons between alternative premises. So even though the tenant may be responsible for paying the operating expenses, it's in your interest to ensure that those expenses for your property are in line with competing properties. And that's where having a competent managing agent is so important.
Well, I would imagine those items in the first category are basically common sense. So, what do you have for us in the next category?
This next category is the physical aspects. And this is where, apart from doing some, minor cosmetic improvements we talked about with the rent review, it's undertaking a complete refurbishment. Now, if you have a lease coming due or falling due or running out and the tenant is not going to renew, it probably might be worthwhile, if they've been there for some period of time, to completely renovate the property, to upgrade the appearance and to improve its overall appeal in the marketplace. And that will enable you to attract a better quality of tenant and most likely achieve a higher rental at the same time. And this will more than cover the costs of the refurbishment through the resulting increase in your property's value. Sometimes you can also bring about a change of use. Now, obviously, your ability to do this will be dictated by the specific zoning within which that your property falls. However, many traditional inner suburban industrial zonings have been modified to permit a mixed-use accommodation, and that will allow you to alter the property to accommodate offices and sometimes small service retail activities. And naturally, with a higher and better use comes a healthy increase in the net income that you can achieve from the very same property. Then also within this physical category is that you can provide some extra services. Now, if you have a larger property with multiple tenants, it's fairly easy to achieve. However, even if you're only one of a strata title within a larger building, you can still adopt this sort of strategy. I mean, if there were some vacancies within the building, you may suggest to the owner's corporation that it leases one of the smaller offices to provide a common meeting room, which can then be hired out online by all the occupants within the building. And with the modern technology available, this can be used and paid for on an as-required basis and would move the existing tenants to the point where they need not any longer set aside valuable space within their own tenancy to accommodate a meeting room, because they can then, on an ad hoc basis or as-required basis, lease this common one. So that enables you to add value, because that means the tenant will be prepared to pay more rental as they can use what was otherwise a meeting room as productive space.
Okay, now that we've looked at some of the improvements you can make to the property itself, where else could you add value?
Well, that brings us to the third category of how you can add value, and that is the area of strategic steps that you can take. Now, a lot of landlords don't know that you can actually challenge your statutory assessments, that's your water rates and valuations and so forth. Every 4 years, the local council have all the properties within the municipality revalued for rating purposes, and that valuation is used not only for council rates but for water rates and also for land tax. Now, those assessments, as I said, are used by the other authorities. However, every property owner does have a window of opportunity to formally challenge these assessments. And if found to be excessive, this would result in a reduction in the valuation assessment. Now, once again, this is something that a competent managing agent will help you review as the time arises and advise you accordingly. And as we discussed earlier, this is important because it's in your interest to keep the overall cost to your tenant down to a minimum. And then the other strategic step you could take would be to renew your lease early. Now, the longer the lease, clearly the more valuable your property becomes. And therefore, it's often worth approaching your tenant during the last year of the lease term to talk about either exercising the option early or taking out a new lease if it's due to end. Now, hopefully you've undertaken some upgrade works during the lease and so you're seen as a caring landlord, as we discussed. But the best way to tackle a lease extension is to have your managing agent float the idea with the tenants, ostensibly as though it was his or her idea, and not having discussed it with you as yet. If it's clear that your tenant intends to stay on, then your managing agent could suggest that the tenant exercise the option and that he or she, your managing agent, would try and twist your arm into granting them a month or so rent-free, where they extend the lease now rather than waiting another 8 to 10 months for the lease to expire or the market review or, sorry, the exercise of option take place. Now, achieving this would immediately improve your position with the lender and also make sure your property is far more appealing in the marketplace should you decide to sell. And with every commercial property, an investor's principal aim is to secure an ongoing, predictable cash flow. And by having continuity of the lease, we'll certainly ensure that. So part of that strategy, as I said, is engaging a competent managing agent. We've spoken a number of times as to what they can do for you as a landlord, and clearly this presupposes that you have someone who is competent. Now, you need to make that decision early in your relationship and not wait until some major crisis arises. And most managing agents will undertake the role of basic rent collection fairly easily, but you're looking for someone who is proactive and who will look after your building as though it were their own.
From what you're saying, having a competent managing agent is really the secret for adding value in this third category. So, do you have one last final idea for our listeners?
Well, one of the clever things you can do, which generally doesn't incur much expense, is to subdivide the property. And we're not just talking about a piece of land adjoining the property. Subject to council requirements, a multi-storey building can be subdivided on a floor-by-floor basis or even into smaller segments within each floor. And even if you own a strata title within a larger complex, depending on its design, that doesn't prevent you from further subdividing that strata floor. However, you'll need to talk to a surveyor and just make sure you can cover off on any compliance issues. In any event, the moment you subdivide the property, even though you may not choose to sell each title off individually, this will immediately add considerable value to your property for a minimal outlay as far as you're concerned with any resultant works that have to be undertaken. And even if you end up selling the property as a whole, you are now able to offer the next purchaser the flexibility of selling off the separate titles piecemeal, which provides them with some additional comfort should the need arise. And in the process, they will pay you more than if the property had no subdivision.
Well, they were some really handy tips and strategies, which I imagine anyone could take advantage of.
Well, you're right. And the key thing is to remember with commercial real estate that you don't simply purchase a property and then put it away in the filing cabinet. You need to always be looking for opportunities to capture or create additional value over and above what the market will provide to you.
Well, thank you once again, Chris.
You know, it was my pleasure as always.